Howdy do, spoken word family. How are you? I trust that you are well. This is your girl MGW, and this is another episode of The Spoken Word. I want to extend a hearty welcome to those of you who are joining us for the first time. And it's just thank you, big up to those who have been tuning in seasons after seasons. Thank you. It is appreciated. Before we go any further, even before I pray, I just want to say that this recording may be, I'm recording at a different time, and so we may have interruptions. So just accept my apologies if you hear any other background noise in this recording. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this, another day, another moment, another opportunity that you have given unto us. Lord, we are well aware that it is no good thing that we have done, but it is simply because of your grace and mercies. As song says, your grace and mercies brought me through, brought us through. And we are grateful, eternally grateful for that, dear Father. And Lord, we say thank you. Lord, just cleanse us again. Wash us again. Consecrate us again. Baptize our hearts again, Almighty God, and make us worthy to offer praises to you, offer thanksgiving to you, to give everything that is due unto your name. Dear Father, we just ask that you just open our hearts and prepare our spirits to receive something from you as we join in this fashion. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, may they be acceptable in your sight. You are indeed our strength and our redeemer, dear Father. Lord God, you know how unprepared I feel, but I give everything to you and I ask for your will to be done. And at the end of it all, we would say amen. Thank you, Lord. My quick encouragement to us is it's coming through the transition with Elijah and Elisha. You know, when I looked, there are two verses in 2 Kings 2 verses 9 and 10 that I want to share with us. And then we're just going to talk on those, just encouraging somebody's spirit. So here goes from the Message translation. When they reached the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, "What can I do for you before I'm taken from you? Ask anything." Elisha said, "Your life repeated in my life. I want to be a holy man just like you." "That's a hard one," said Elijah. "But if you're watching when I'm taken from you, you'll get what you've asked for, but only if you're watching." Let me also share verse 10 from the NIV. "You've asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I'm taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not." When I thought about this, these two verses, what really jumped at me is just the focus. Just to be attentive and focus, I believe, it has now become a personal desire of mine. And I feel like it's also the desire of others, just to see that we're in a time when there are so many distractions. There are so many things that is challenging our time or focus or heart's desire, just everything. And we have to realize that there has to be a focus. Like it's an intentional focus that is required. And when we looked at these two verses, we're seeing that, of course, Elijah is senior to Elisha. So Elijah was now at the point where he was about to be transitioned. And it was clear that even the school of prophets, they knew that this was happening. They knew that his time was ahead. And if you should read in earlier verses, you'd realize that Elijah, I don't know if it was a test to see, you know, if Elisha the second or the upcoming would stay with him through all of this. How desperately, how bad did he need to be schooled? Did he need to continue on for the Lord? Because that was the desire. You know, the request that he was making was not just that he wanted, you know, double of his spirit or greater power, but it was more importantly, to continue for the Lord, continue to do the work of the Lord. So he wanted to be empowered for that first and foremost. And it said that they were on their way and they were leaving Gilgal and they were going to Bethel. And Elijah said to Elisha, you know, pretty much in my own terms, you don't have to come, stay here. But he insisted that he was going to go with Elijah. And so they both went to Bethel. When they got to Bethel, the prophets there said to him, you know, that he's going to be taken away. You know, so it felt like a warning. And so it could have been that they were saying, you know, whatever you need to do, make post haste, be in position, because he's going to be taken away. His appointed time is at hand. It's coming. Same thing happened when they were going to Jericho. Elijah said to him, you don't have to come. Elisha insisted to go, and they went on that journey. Likewise, the prophet said the same thing. He told them to be quiet. And you know what I'm getting from this is that Elisha, he already had a made up mind. He already knew that he was going to go all the way to the very end. You know, and when Elijah saw his determination, saw that he wasn't changing course, saw that he was persistent, then he got asked of that question. And chances are Elijah was waiting for this question all along. He wanted to see what was going to be imparted to him right at this point, you know. And then Elijah, being a prophet, more experienced and everything, he would, I'd want to think that he already saw and he knew. But again, it came back to how determined was Elijah. How fixed and how focused was him? How desperate was him for this thing? Was he for this thing? And let's bring it to current times now. There are so many of us who we see a gifting. We see, you know, the Lord using someone and we admire the gifting. We admire how that person is going and working and doing for the Lord. And it's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing, you know, to admire a gift in someone or want to be used like that person. Once it's not coming from a jealous place, it's not a bad thing. And Elisha, would have admired, would have been seeing all of what was being done through Elijah. And he admired it. He wanted it as well. He wanted to continue the work of the Lord. And so he placed himself in that position. And, you know, when the time came for the question, his question was, let me inherit a double portion of your spirit. You know, he wanted more than he wanted to be able to continue on in the work at an extent where he knew for a fact that God would get glory. And he asked for the double portion. I like that the Message translation says, your life repeated in my life. What we often see in somebody's life, what we see on demonstration oftentimes is the gifting at work. Well, if we're in a close position, or if we're in a close position like Elijah was, then you'll also get to see the character traits on display in silent moments, in moments when there isn't an audience. And I believe that's one of the greater things to see, because oftentimes we will see the gifting at work. We desire the gifting, But we don't want the other things that come with it because it's a package. There are going to be greater giftings, greater testings, greater anointing, greater persecution. Like, there are things that happen behind the scenes where if you may be not in close fellowship, if you're not watching as closely, then you may not be privy to see some of those things. Elisha, he had that opportunity because Elijah was his teacher. He was going to be his successor. And so he would have seen everything that came with it. He would have seen even the loneliness that came with it. Because if we were to ask some of the persons who operate in some positions, they will tell you that it's a lonely place to be. A very lonely place to be, and there are a lot of challenges that comes with it. So, you know, one of the things that we can get from this is we have to be careful about the things that we ask for. The things that we're asking for, are we in a position to steward it and steward it well? It's what happens behind the scene. What if the walls could talk? What if your deepest, darkest moments could come to light? What would those look like? Are we able to still uphold? Because what we're getting, especially through the message translation, is that he wanted to continue in that holiness. He said, I want to be a holy man just like you. So he was coveting something that was good. And clearly, I'd want to think that he has now placed himself in that position to steward it and to steward it well. Are you putting yourself, or are you in place to do well with that which you're asking for? The terms and conditions. Sometimes when if we're buying something, if we're entering into a contract, oftentimes we look to just the bold print, the prints that are just right there and they jumped at our eyes. But what about the small prints? Are you ready to go through the persecution that comes with the office? To whom much is given, much is required. It cannot be asking for a gifting for just a show, for just a display. No. God is a jealous God, and he will not share his glory with another. So maybe a part of this is for us to come back to the place and to be careful of what it is that we're asking for, to check our intentions. Are our intentions pure and true? Elisha had good intentions. He was pursuing holiness. He did not ask for, I'd want to think that he could have asked for riches, or he could have asked for other things. And it even reminds me of Solomon. Solomon asked for wisdom. Here we have Elisha asking for a double portion of your spirit. I want the life that you live, I want that to be multiplied in me. I want to be as holy as you were holy. And again, the other things that came just by virtue of him receiving those, he was also asking to accept those, to be recipient of those. Are we ready? Are we ready for that which we are desiring and asking for? All right. So I think we have introspected and we're still introspecting. So the good thing about it is that what Elisha asked for, it was really considered by God and Elijah. And Elijah just said to him, yes, it's a hard thing. It wasn't a hard thing for God. What we're asking for, they're not hard things for God. He was saying you're asking a hard thing, your life, you know, for you to steward this, for you to carry this, for you to operate in this, the sacrifices that are going to be required of you, you know, the things that come with this, with you being in this position, it's a hard thing. Are you ready for it? But then he said, all right, Just in case you're ready for this, there's just another condition. So it's hard. It's not hard for God. It's a hard thing for you to be asking just based on everything that comes with it. But if you're watching, if you see me when I'm taken up, then it is yours. That's it, you know? So it brings me back to the focus, that intentional focusing that we started with. So the thing that you've been asking for, the things that we've been asking for, we are being reminded now that we have to maintain focus. When the prophet said to him, you know, your master is going to be taken up, he told them to be quiet. Maybe he just didn't want them to carry on or to ramble on because he already knew. He already checked his intentions and he knew what he was about. So he started his focus leading up to that point. He was already focused and in position for the baton. Now, if we think about a relay, 4x4 or 4x100 meter relay, we recognize that it's more than a one person race, and they are connecting by this baton passing. So if, and they will have to go through training and hours and months of training. And a part of it is, yes, the speed and everything. And, you know, who will run what leg of the race. But an important and a very important part of it is the baton exchange. So if they're not in position, if they don't grip that baton and it falls, then it means that there is no exchange and there is a disqualification. Elijah said to Elisha, if you see me when I'm transitioning, if you see me when I'm being taken up, then the baton becomes you, but if it become yours. But if you miss that pivotal, great faith moving moment, a moment that was only experienced by one other man, then you have to witness this. If you witness this, then the baton is yours. Some of us, we are at the point where we are lining up to witness the transition, lining up to be at that point where that which you've been asking for, you are going to receive. Distractions are going to come at the very last moment, which is why we're being told to keep watch, keep focus, keep your eyes fixed. Do not be distracted. Do not be dismayed. Do not be disheartened. Do not be discouraged. Like, take courage and be brave up to this point. It was a whirlwind that Elijah was taken up in. The only other person that was transitioned this way was, and I'm not even remembering his name right now, but there was just only one other person that had this transition. And here we have Elijah being the second person to make this transition. And all Elisha needed to do is to just keep focus. Watch. There is something that happens at the last moment. Something that happens at the last moment. Maybe there's a last instruction that needs to be received. Maybe there's a, even if we recognize what happened in how blessings were passed down. Let's look at when Esau, When Isaac needed to do the blessing, it was when he was about to pass. The same thing with Abraham. So at their time of passing, there's a blessing. There's a blessing. And what Elisha was asking for, it is also coming out of what used to happen then. So the first son would receive the double portion. So it wasn't even he wasn't asking outside of. So again, it was not hard for God to do because that was the norm. The first son would receive the double blessings. But the moment, the closing moments, the final moments. So again, this is just for the Elijah. And regardless of where you are on the continuum, you know, of going into succession, going into position, just know that it is important at this time that you stay focused, that you watch every single move, that you lock eyes. And this is not just a physical thing. It's a spiritual watching. It's a spiritual focusing so that you can receive that which you have been desiring because your intentions are pure and true. When we look at even Moses, there was a transition with Moses onto Joshua. I believe in just my own words, no. It says that Moses, my servant, is dead. But guess what? The promise didn't die with the change of guard or leadership. It had to continue. The Israelites still had to go over into Canaan. And so you are needed. You are needed because the promise continues. There's a set of people waiting on you. We saw that the prophets in the school of prophets in Bethel and Jericho, you know, they spoke the same thing to Elisha to say that his master was going to be taken up and all of that. The set that they met in Jordan, because Elijah and Elisha crossed over Jordan before this transition. And the set that they met in Jordan, they didn't say this. What they did, they stood off and they watched. They saw everything that happened. They became a witness. And so when Elijah was taken up and Elijah tore his clothes and he took up the cloak, and you know, when he got back to cross over to the Jordan, he used the cloak and the water parted. So they saw, so they could have been a witness to everything, to recognize that Elijah received the double that he asked for. They wanted to confirm and they said, you know what, we can send out some men to go and look to see, you know, if he's somewhere else. And they did their search and they didn't find Elijah because he was taken up. He was taken up. And so there was a confirmation. There was a confirmation that Elijah did in fact receive the double portion. He was embodied. He was embodied to live the life that Elijah lived. He was embodied to be a holy man like Elijah was, to be a mouthpiece and an earpiece for the Lord. So again, just keep focused, keep watching, and that is what the encouragement is to us today. So as you go forth, keep watch. Do not be distracted. Keep focused to the very last minute. You will know. Love and blessings.